It's Livin' the Bream with host of Fox News at Night, Shannon Bream.
All right. This week on Livin' the Bream podcast, we are happy to welcome Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of Susan B. Anthony List. You may be aware of her if you know anything about the pro-life movement. She is one of the top leaders, and that makes her some folks' best friends, and for others, their greatest enemies. And so as we mark this week the March for Life, the Roe v. Wade anniversary, we want to talk to her about where the movement stands and her critics as well. Marjorie, welcome.
Hello, Shannon. I love being on here with you.
We thank you so much, and we enjoy that on the podcast, we can have a little bit more time to talk about what's going on in the world. Yeah. Tell us where things stand, because listen, you know, I hear from pro-choice groups all the time who are very worried about the work that you're doing, and they think that women's rights are going backwards under the Trump administration and because of the work that you're doing, because of things that are happening at both the state and federal level. Mm-hmm. So bring us up to speed.
Well, it's my hope that actually we do go back maybe even to the earliest feminists who were very pro-life, Susan B. Anthony, all those folks. Very pro-life. They were very clear about it. So I hope we do go way back, but let's go that far back and come full circle when it comes to women's rights. But so, we are at the strongest place that we have been since Roe versus Wade. The pro-life movement is stronger than it ever has been before. That is because we made a very, very strong investment in the election of this president, of this Senate. Important governors around the country as well. But when we do that, we invest with not only with our feet, with our door-to-door activity, but we invest in the policy prescription that we wanted this president and this Senate to enact. And he knows that. We've worked very hard on all of those bits. And if you ask anybody in the administration what those commitments are, they know the answer. And that is like gold in politics.
And listen, your critics, including NARAL, Pro-Choice America, has a lot to say. They have this new report out. I haven't seen it before, but I was going through today, and they're listing all of the groups and individuals they think are the most dangerous anti-choice individuals in there. And I started thinking, I'm going to look for folks that I would recognize from the pro-life movement. Mm-hmm. And so I did a word check for your name, and I think it was 36 times, or maybe more, that you're in this report.
I'm so sitting up straighter and so proud right
now. Well, they're not fans of yours, as you know. So let me read you a little bit about what they have said. They say this movement, which they call anti-choice, is funded by secret foundations injecting millions into the work, slowly chipping away at abortion access across the country. They say the efforts executed under the radar and behind closed doors go against the mainstream. In 2016, the anti-choice movement's top leaders, that's you, joined allies in the fringe alt-right movement and decided to throw their support behind then-Republican nominee Donald Trump. They leveraged their influence to extract extensive promises, legitimize his candidacy, and bolster his turnout. Trump has followed through on his commitments, boosting anti-choice priorities in dangerously meaningful ways. Your response?
Well, if you take out the adjectives and invective, that is a glowing report, one I'm extremely proud of. They're absolutely right. We did throw our support behind this president, and it was a very clear choice when you compared Donald Trump's commitments to Hillary Clinton's commitments. Even right up until the until Election Day, she was promising to overturn the Hyde Amendment, guarantee that taxpayer funds would be used on abortions across the board. We've been very proud of that record, and the idea that the pro-life movement would be that strong, that we are at the point where we're able to be a major part of electing a president, and then leveraging that win into legislative and administrative policy changes is exactly what we've been working for and why we're really going to end abortion.
Do you understand how, for them, they don't understand how you as a woman can take that position? Because they say everything about what they call the anti-choice movement is taking away birth control, taking away women's choices, taking away their options in the world. They call it reproductive choice and abortion care. And they say that it leaves women with fewer options about education, about their lives. And they don't understand why another woman would hold those ideas or principles as a positive.
Well, the civil rights, in any great civil rights cause, is going to have detractors, and this is that. This is the civil rights movement of this day. Now, to be anti-woman is pretty much what I used to be, very pro-choice, and when my mind was changed.
And how did that happen? I mean, how did you have that evolution?
It wasn't one day, but it was definitely very smart people. I was a philosophy major at Duke. That was one thing. Very smart people kind of challenging me on the position that I was. I was a very pro-choice Republican, and I was very vocal in my views, challenged by the non-sequiturs that I would say, like, my body, my choice. You know, everything that Nehrau just said would be absolutely true, and I would agree with them that I am narrow-minded, that I am constricting choices, if it weren't a human being that we're talking about. If we were talking about appendectomies or tonsillectomies or even contraception, which we're not, then this would be a completely different story. What we're talking about is whether it is okay to build your rights on the broken rights of another human being. And real women say no to that. And real women know that our rights are linked directly with the rights of the unborn. The early suffragists understood that. They said it over and over again. The original author of the Equal Rights Amendment, Alice Paul, called abortion the ultimate exploitation of women. I think women innately know that, and it has taken a lot of pounding upon them by the feminist movement and others to really pound that truth out of them.
Okay, to read a little bit more from their report and get you to respond, they say the anti-choice ideology is all about control, control over women and families. The organizations involved seek to define what family looks like for all of us.
Again, if we weren't talking about a baby, they would be right. It would be ridiculous that we would want to constrict that choice or eliminate it or narrow it in any way. But we're talking about a woman and a child, two people who are in a tough spot that deserve our love, our care, our protection, and the safeguarding of those rights in the law. So, look, I used to think what they did, and I probably would have described it in the same way until I became convinced through science, through logic, through instinct as a mother, that we're talking about two people that need help. And frankly, these unborn children who have no voice of their own, that are on the, in the out marginalized in society, are very much in line with all of the great civil rights causes of our time. They are next up, and they deserve our love, our protection, and care, just like the women who are carrying them do.
And one of the things that you've been instrumental in working on is this 20-week ban, mm-hmm. essentially saying that unborn children or fetuses, whatever terminology people want to use at mm-hmm. that point, they have just about every capability that you'd need, and that they do feel pain. Mm-hmm. The pro-choice side says that's anti-science, it's not true, and they've described this bill that's been on the Hill more than once and is there mm-hmm. again as dangerously anti-choice. So tell us what the bill is about and what you mm-hmm. think its odds are.
One thing you said a little while ago is that they were describing how the things that we're supporting are wildly out of touch with mainstream thought. Well, mm-hmm. one thing is 100% true is this 20-week, 5-month bill is incredibly popular. It's supported by Democrats, Americans as a whole, Hispanics, independents, you name the group, and it is supported. It's supported by young women more than older women. What this would do is basically, it's very simple, abortion would not be allowed after 20 weeks. We're one in 7 nations in the world that refrains from protecting children after that point. In that, we are in the club of China, Vietnam, North Korea, and others. This is not a human rights club that you want to be a part of. Lindsey Graham, who I know you're going to talk to in a little while, this is one of the how he sees his international leadership running summit. He is the sponsor of that particular bill, and he sees that as well. So this has got incredible support. It's got the majority in the House that's already voted for it. It certainly has a majority in the Senate, but as you well know, without 60 votes, we're not going to be able to get it out. And we definitely know, because we've heard from the president in his own statement of administration policy, that as soon as we can get that bill to his desk, it will be signed into law. And it will not be a contraction of rights. It'll be an affirmation of the lives of unborn children, many of who could be born and actually live at that point, and an affirmation of their mothers.
What does it mean to you that, as we're recording this, March for Life is tomorrow. It mm-hmm. is a huge event. I have covered it many, many years as a journalist, and I can say objectively that there are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands mm-hmm. of people who show up, and yet just in, calling out my colleagues across the media landscape, If it gets any mention at all on other networks, it is very much downplayed. They say thousands showed up, that kind of thing. I mean, I've been there and seen it with my own eyes and watching the procession that goes all the way down to the Supreme Court for blocks and blocks and blocks, as far as the eye can see. Now, other marches, when they turn out in that level in D.C., we report on them. It doesn't matter what the subject matter is. And yet this one is hundreds of thousands of people who often in the reporting seem to be invisible.
Yes. You know, it's been happening every year since 1973. And so maybe because of the frequency, like, this is a kind way of looking at it. It's like, oh, ho-hum, there's another 100,000 people showing up to protest abortion. Well, they've been doing that every year. They will do it every year. And the idea that the content of the march, because one disagrees with it, means that it can't be reported upon, that it actually didn't happen, as if it didn't happen, certainly is not journalistic. I know it's not why you went to why you got into journalism. Mm-hmm. It's to expose actually what's happening. I actually think it's a great story. It's a great story, whether you agree with what we're marching about or not. It is an important thing to be reporting on in the context of everything that's happening in terms of abortion policy now. I hope that it's better this year, but I know that Trump was also very critical. The president was very critical of the press last year in the way that you just remarked. So we'll see. The press doesn't always respond positively to his critiques. So I'm not.
No. Often they don't. But I'm just saying, as an objective observer, having been out there, I know the truth of the movement and what the size is of who actually shows up. And I just think, regardless of what the subject matter is, something that takes over the streets of D.C. like that, all of us as journalists should want to cover it, no matter what the topic is, whether we agree it's left, right, or middle. It's a significant event.
It's easier to just box it, categorize it, don't cover it, and just assume that you know, and then. Mm-hmm. And I think that is exactly what happened. But I know you know that when you look at the faces of those marchers,
they're very
young. Surrounded by young people, grandmothers, schools come en masse from all over the country. It's a beautiful, peaceful, nonviolent protest in the tradition of Martin Luther King.
What does it mean to you that the president is going to address the March for Life?
Well, it's history. And this president surprises me over and over and over again, and I mean in a positive way. He is the first president to ever address the March for Life. He's doing it from the Rose Garden because of security concerns, and I'm very glad about that. Last year was history with the vice president showing up and speaking. This year he's making it again. And it's important because it's a first, but it's more important because it shows where his heart is. It shows that he is putting his muscle, his conviction, and his voice behind some of the things that he knows he was elected to do. And now, I remember very, very clearly being challenged, especially by reporters, when we endorsed him and got to work in battleground states. You know, what makes you think he's going to follow through on any of these promises? Is he really pro-life? How could you even think that? Well, only God knows what's in his heart. But I definitely can see more follow through than any other president that we have ever had on pro-life on this issue.
Let me ask you about an issue that's been really tricky for this administration, and I've talked to folks at the highest levels of the DOJ, and I'm sure you have too, about this issue of young women who are coming here illegally and they're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Whether it's before they arrive or once they're here, either way, they find themselves in a situation where they don't want the pregnancy, they feel they can't handle it, they feel overwhelmed, they're in custody if they're underage. And they're pushing for abortion. And so now there are several cases, both in and out of the courts. In some of these cases, young women have gone and gotten abortions. The administration's position is, we don't want to facilitate it. We don't want to spend any taxpayer money for it. We don't want to take them there. Mm-hmm. We don't want to have anything to do with it. It's been through the court system. There was yet another one of these cases last week. There are those who are opposing it, who I think of the Attorney General in Texas, Ken Paxton, who's filed one of the briefs in one of these cases saying, we don't want to be a magnet, because in many of the places that these young women come from, abortion is completely illegal. They are very tough for them to get, and we don't want the U.S. to be a magnet or a draw for them, knowing if they can just get across the border, they'll be able to end their pregnancy.
Yeah.
It's a tough situation because these are young women, and we don't know the circumstances they're coming from, but it seems that the pro-choice groups are very much advocating on their behalf and kind of trying to shame the administration, who a lot of people think hasn't acted swiftly enough in some of these cases. So what's your take?
Well, the ACLU in this case that you're speaking of is really helping to turn the United States into a sanctuary nation for underage underage girls coming from other countries illegally. Like, there's a lineup at the border for to get these abortions. And is that who we want to be? Well, I can tell you for sure, the administration statement of policy about what it thinks about life in general was an official statement put out not too long ago. And it was that this administration will stand for life in the protection of the unborn until natural death. And so this is a natural, the administration's activities in attempting to help this young woman who was pregnant fully in her second trimester to help is completely consistent with administration policy that Americans elected him and with all the commitments that he had. So I think, you know, one thing that has to be looked at too is how do you really, if you really have care and compassion for a young woman in that situation, what are you going to do? Planned Parenthood, ACLU, NARAL, their solution, their panacea for every difficulty is give them an abortion and then let them go. Okay, that's what they offered during Hurricane Katrina. That's what they offered during 9/11. Let's give everybody free abortions and everything's going to be great. Well, we know that is the beginning of difficulty for many, many women. And especially think of that in a young woman who is in her second trimester. She needs the care and loving concern she clearly is in a difficult situation if she is lining up at the border to get an abortion in our country. So she needs a lot more help, and she needs a lot more love and care than just giving her abortion and hoping that everything is okay. I think that is the place that we want to be. We want to be a country that preserves the life of the unborn and the life of that mother who deserves our help.
There have been a lot of pledges from folks to defund Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. saying they get, what, $500 million of taxpayer money every year. They say it's not used for abortion services. It's used for other things. Mm-hmm. And they say that they are a primary health care institution for a lot of people in their communities. They say this is the only option for women. Mm-hmm. You know, but it seems like a lot of progress has not been made on that by those who made those promises. Do you think they're finding it's going to be impossible to get done? Do they want to choose the fight for another day? Mm-hmm. Has Planned Parenthood successfully lobbied to stop it? What's going on?
No, Planned Parenthood, honestly, I don't say this very often, Shannon. They have lied for so many years, and they've gotten away with it for so many years that they have put it in the minds of people and politicians who defend them that somehow that they are a primary and indispensable health care for women outlet. Well, their own report shows that all of their services except for abortion are going down. They don't do basic primary care for women. It's not what they do. And all of their abortion services are going up. Even services for STDs and other reproductive health care, they're all going down. Abortion is going up. They are the biggest abortion. They are the abortion industry of the nation. It is a business model without which, with abortion at the center, without that, they couldn't do what they do. They, of course, as you know, because you've covered this, they've been filmed in grisly situations where they're harvesting the eyes and the hearts and the lungs and of babies and are under investigation for selling them. And they are a corrupt organization.
And they do continue to deny that they've done anything illegal.
They do.
In those cases. So they're
we'll
still
see.
Pending. I mean, and now it seems like there is real action within the FBI and DOJ
yes.
to pursue some of those cases.
So yeah, there's
we'll
so much
we'll
evidence that
more.
Came up in the House investigation mm-hmm. and then the Senate investigation. So we will see. But without question, Americans do not believe that their tax dollars ought to be used to prop up an abortion industry. And so your question about the viability of the effort to defund and redistribute those funds to actual community health centers and primary care providers for women, which outnumber Planned Parenthood 20-1, they're far more accessible. They're far more comprehensive. Planned Parenthood doesn't even claim to do what they do. So, all right. So stipulated. So the idea that they be defunded is very, very popular. We lost that by one vote and the vote to defund Planned Parenthood by one vote, that vote of John McCain against the health care bill when it got to the Senate. So that is not evidence that they have some grand successful lobbying strategy to stop this. They are on the chopping block, and they know they're on the chopping block, and all we need is a few more senators, and we're going to be good. Right now, we don't have what we need, especially with that loss in Alabama. So all of our efforts are focused on gaining seats in the Senate so that we can have that vote again, and then we will defund and redistribute those funds to people who deserve them.
Last question. Mm-hmm. As passionate as you are on your side of this argument, you know that there are men and women on the other side who are working around the clock, and they truly believe they're doing what's best. Mm-hmm. They're passionate for their cause as well. And on both sides, it's a lot of hard work and endless hours and mm-hmm. these court cases and, you know, finessing and working the legislation or working to oppose it. It's an endless job, I know, for you, as mm-hmm. for many of the leaders on the other side of this conversation. So what keeps you going?
I'll tell you this. Every single one of those children sent, almost 3,000 a day, every single one of them have value, a purpose that no one, that only they can accomplish. Only they. And when we are missing those boys and girls on the scale of 3,000 a day, think about who's missing and all the problems that we have, the dysfunction in our society, and we wonder why it is so bad. I say part of the reason is because the people who were sent to help solve those problems didn't make it. And no one can replace even one of them and what he or she was supposed to do. So what keeps me going is the value of one of those little boys or girls and what they could have accomplished if they had gotten here. And I really do love, and the other is the women who were sold this abortion as this great freedom, this great panacea for all of their problems. They deserve true solutions, real love, a life-affirming solutions to their problems. And I will not stop until both of those things are accomplished.
Well, Marjorie Dannenfelser, we thank you for your time today. We have many times invited voices from the other side, and we do hope that they will join us on Living the Dream as well for this conversation. But we thank you for your contribution to this discussion today.
Thanks so much.